ecclesia. What is the ecclesia?
Two or more people gathered together.
One's called out.
One's called out.
Okay, what is the church? Where two or three people are gathered together in my authority, yeah. In my authority, and that church has to have the right history, doesn't it? It has to have the right rule book, the Bible. It has to have the right officers, deacons, and pastors. Here, the deacon and the pastor are one. That's the way it is. Now, we've studied the last time the essential elements of the New Testament church. And now we're going to study church history in advance. Church history in advance. What does God say that's going to happen during the history of the churches, the church history, the church age? What's He say going to happen? Now, where can we go and find that out in the Bible? Where can we go and find out what's going to happen to the churches and what is going to be the environment of the churches in different periods of time? The book of Revelation, starting with chapter 2. Chapter 2 is a history. It is a prophecy. Now, we look back upon it now. It happened. But when you look back and see what God said was going to happen and you see what happened, it is exactly the same. It agrees. In the second chapter of the book of Revelation, we begin the church age. It starts telling us what's going to happen in the church age. This is a letter to Ephesus. Now, there are seven letters to the churches in Asia. Now, how many churches in Asia were there?
Seven.
No. A lot more than seven.
Oh, okay.
You can start counting them. There was a whole bunch of them. But He uses these seven churches to teach what's going to happen in the church age. Now, the first church age that we're going to talk about now is going to begin in 30 A.D. 30 A.D. That's when the church was called out. The church didn't begin on the day of Pentecost. Many people say out there the church began on the day of Pentecost. That's when the church was born. That's the birthday of the church. That's not right. What happened on the day of Pentecost was the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower the church. And every church was a candlestick. And the light in that church was a light in the candlestick, which is the Holy Spirit. Now we're going to look at that and we're going to see what's going to happen in this period of time and what did happen in this period of time. The church would be in a battlefield. Brother Madden preached that message, preparing for the battlefield. When you're born again, it's going to be a battle from then on. The rest of the time, you're just going like the rest of the world. But when you're saved, then things change in your life. Your friends that you had before, sometimes they're not your friends anymore. You don't want to act like them. And are you bigoted? You don't want to do this. You don't want to go drink with us and go do this kind of stuff. You don't want to go do these things that you did before. Why are we too? Are you too good for us now? You hear all of this. I remember one time one of my real good friends, Frank Gibson. You remember Frank Gibson, Marilyn? He was a politician. He was very well known in the Bakersfield and the Arvin area. He had been a mayor of Arvin at one time. And he was a really nice man, and he'd been married a lot of times. And he was a handsome person, and women liked him. And he got saved. Well, he was born again. He was saved, and he wanted to go tell all his friends about Jesus, and he went to the bars where he went before, and he sat there and drank a Coca-Cola or something and tell them about Jesus, and they finally said, "What are you doing in here in a bar telling us about Jesus?" "Well, I love you. That's why I want you to know Jesus." Well, they rejected him. Well, he went to Valley Baptist Church and preachers to get up and preach, and he said, "These people aren't even in the same world as I'm living in. They have no idea what it's like out there in the world." I just love it. He got up and he did a message one time. That was one of the greatest sermons I ever heard preached at Valley Baptist Church. He said, "We live in the real world. Not in their little make-believe worlds. In their little houses where they, you know, they haven't never had problems. They married the one woman. They have these kids that follow the Lord and all this kind of stuff. He said, it's not the way it is. I went by one time when I was coming from the coast. And I was going to a little town, Button Willow. I got on the other side of the town, and I saw a man electrocuted on the high line wire and killed him. I'll never forget that. That was Frank Gibson's son that was killed that day. He said, these people are unacquainted with tragedy and life. They have wives that love them. He said, what about these poor guys like us that had wives that didn't love us, that took off with somebody else, or whatever, you know, there's a lesbian, or whatever happens, you know, in the real, real world. Let's live in the real world. And what happens to us, and how we carefully follow the Lord the best we can in spite of the real world. Boy, that was a great message that I heard him preach. I wish I had it recorded. It would have been one of the top downloads, I can tell you that much. This message to the church at Ephesus. Ephesus means relaxed, by the way. Ephesus means relaxed. Ephesus. And the Ephesian letter in the Bible is actually not to the church at Ephesus. It is a circular letter. It is a general epistle, a universal epistle to all the churches. And later on, if you look in your study Bibles, and when it talks about the church at Ephesus, the Ephesian letter, Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, all that we quote all the time, that was a universal letter. And it'll say the word in Ephesus was not there in the original manuscripts. So we refer to it as the Ephesian letter, but this is the Ephesian church now, here, that we're talking about. It was the same, that church copied and sent that letter out all over, so it was called the Ephesian letter because it came from Ephesus. Now I'm going to translate this from Greek for you as we go do this. People have liked this in the past. Toa angelo tes en Ephesu ekklesias rapho. Tade lege ho kraton tus epta ateros en te dexia auto ho peripaton en meson ton hepta luneon tu chryson. And it says here to the angels. The angels. Now, did you know I'm an angel? Marilyn used to say when she married me after about 6 months, she said, are you an angel? Are you really just pretending to be here? Didn't you remember you told me that many times? Well, yes, I am an angel. I'll tell you that much because I'm a pastor. An angel is a messenger. And it says, and to the pastors of the Ephesian church. Now, this church, the period of time was from 30 A.D. to 251 A.D. From 30 A.D. to 251 A.D., what happens here is what's going on in that period of time. God uses this church to teach church history in advance. To the pastors of the churches of Asia, or of Ephesus, you write, today, these sayings, he says, the one holding the seven stars. The one holding the seven stars, and by the way, the seven stars are also the pastors. God is holding the seven stars, the pastors, in his hand, protecting them as they preach the word of God. Now, a lot of the preachers died. Don't know anyone other than me that has faced death so many times in my life. With cancer, explosions. I mean, if I told you all the things happened to me, horses trying to chew me alive and kill me and stomp me to death and broke my neck twice, basal fracture, that should have killed me. A gun that blew up in my hand that blew the door off the hinges behind me. Angels were busy that time. I think I was in God's hand, even though I wasn't preaching at that time. God had a plan for me. Poison with arsenic and mercury, enough to kill 9 people, and I'm shaking like a leaf still from that. And then poison with propane, last September. And I should not have lived for it. They say you shouldn't have lived. If this really happened, you wouldn't be alive. Well, I'm alive, and it did happen. Pretty plain. Shaking like a leaf and a lot of problems. Half the time I have to preach with dark glasses on because I can't stand the lights. From ophthalmic migraines from that problem. The stars. The stars are the messengers. The stars are the pastors. Out of the right hand of him, they're holding with his right hand. He's holding them in his hand. I can just tell you one thing about this. You are indestructible and immortal until God is finished with you. That's a fact. You're immortal and indestructible until God is finished with you. When you get your job done and call you on, sometimes as I look at, and I was there, and I'll show this on camera. I'm going to show you something. On the back of this plate, it's from Korea, from Brother Seoul. On the back of that is a letter written to me from Korea. Brother Seoul spent 5 years away from his family in a seminary in Bellflower, California, going to school with me, and I was his Hebrew and Greek teacher later on because Brother Hubbard left. And I was the only one that knew Greek and Hebrew, so I taught Greek and Hebrew. And I was teaching a giant of a man, a giant mind, a tremendous, brilliant genius. I'd get him to take a word and put it on the blackboard. He put it in about 10 different languages and write it in all the Oriental languages, the Asian languages, in Taiwan, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, just go through Russian, Latin, Spanish, whatever. He knew them all. Fluent. I couldn't believe it. What did he do? With one word. He went back to Korea. And within 6 months of going back to Korea, he dropped dead. He went back to Korea to start a seminary to teach his people the Word of God. And I just says, God, why didn't you take me? Why this man? Like this giant of a man. The giant mind, the giant personality. You can listen to him preach on sermon audio, and you can listen to him preach on Discover the Word with Dr. Jim at discovertheword.com. You can hear him preach. That he told about the history of the churches in Japan. It was a great honor knowing him. But he died. All I can say is God was finished with him. He did it. He finished his race. I'm not finished yet. His son went to the seminary, and I got to teach his son. And his son went and continued on with the work. Maybe his son would have never done that if his father hadn't died. Now, the church at Ephesus, historical records show us that John the Apostle pastored that church past 100 A.D., John, they say, lived to be about 130 years old. And John buried Mary, Jesus' mother, and he took care of her there. She was buried in Ephesus. She wasn't taken up into heaven, as some goofy Catholic pope would say. She died, like you and me, and she was buried in Ephesus. He pastored the church here for many years. You know, at the end of John's life, it is said that they had to carry him to church, to the services, in somebody's home on a stretcher. And he preached from that stretcher. He was old and he was decrepit. His feet were bad from the time they were boiled in oil. He wrote this letter from the island of Patmos in exile, where the salt mines were. Verse number 2 now. Oida ta ego su kai ton kopon kai tain hipomonain si kai hote u dine bastasa kakos kai eperosos tous legantes iotos apostolus, kai uk esen kai eres autos sudes. And I know the works of you. I know your works. I know the works that belong to you. And the beatings. The word tone, kopon there, it literally means beatings. And it means labor also. It means to work under hard, severe circumstances. And I know that kind of circumstances as I worked in the refineries and the oil derricks and drilling oil and water wells. Killing labor. Labor that would kill you. As they labored in this church age from 30 AD to 250 on, some of them labored so hard that it took their lives to be a Christian. I know the hypomonane, I know the endurance. That means staying power. Hypomonane means remain under the strain. I know your staying power that belongs to you. That not you're able to bear, that bastase, that means to hold up, evil. And you have tried the ones saying to themselves that they are apostles and they are not. During this period of time, there were a lot of groups of people rose up and stood against the truth and said they were inspired of God, they were apostles. And it says, and not they are. And you found out them to be, each one, every one of them, liars. That word sudeis there, that means liars. Liars. Perjurers. Liars. Verse number 3. Kai hipomone, and the endurance you have, a case, and you did bear, ibastases, you did bear because of the name of me. You bore up underneath all this because of my name. And you did not grow weary. And not kai u keke pak pikias. Pikes, that is. You did not grow weary. You have not grown weary. Not grown weary of the beatings that you have gotten and of the hard labor that you've done. Verse number 4. But Allah echo, but I have against you, kata si, hote tain, agapain, si tain, protein, afikes. And I have against you that the love of you, your first love, you have deserted. The church's love grew cold for Jesus. But Jesus' love did not grow cold for them. We have this in marriage, don't we? Sometimes a woman is always in love with her husband. Sometimes a man is always in love with his wife, but sometimes the wife gets other ideas, and sometimes the husband gets other ideas, don't they? He said, you have deserted your first love. Jeremiah 2 and 2 and Matthew 24 and 12 talks about love growing cold. During this period of time, from 330 to 251 AD, some of the churches went astray. In 251 AD, in the city of Rome, that church there went astray. They had two pastors vying for the pulpit, Cornelius and Novatian. Cornelius was a liberal in every way. The pastors of the churches had been killed in the past because of Jesus Christ. They had beatings, they were beat, they were killed, they were tortured. And some of the church members would recant their faith and tell them who the pastor was, because the pastor was secret, who the pastor was. They were hiding out. And Cornelius said, well, those people that recanted them their faith and come back to the church, let's let them go back in. Novatian said, no. We put our lives in their hands. If they come back, they will publicly be baptized again. And they were known as Anabaptists there, rebaptizers. Well, the church finally voted for Cornelius, and it went astray. And from then on, that church starts going down the wrong path. And so they forgot about the Lord. They forgot about His love. They forgot about the rules. And guard with these things with your life. And they had given that up. Verse number 5, it says, Menonue, it says, you remember. That's an imperative. You remember, therefore, un pothein petokos, from where you have fallen. You fell from this. You went astray. Kai metanoieso. And you repent. And ta proton, and the first works of you, your first works, you continue to practice poieso. You continue to practice. You go back and start practicing the things that you learned before and what you did when I was pleased with you. You stopped loving me and started loving the world. Eide me erkamai. Moreover, since not I am coming, I shall come to you. And I shall remove, I'm going to come to this church and I'm going to remove the lampstand that looks on neon. I'm going to remove the lampstand. I'm going to take your lampstand out of the church. The church is the lampstand. And the lampstand holds the light. And the light is the Holy Spirit. But since you don't believe in me anymore, that you don't love me anymore, I'm taking your lampstand away. You're not going to have a lampstand anymore. And then you won't have any light to be guarded by and led by. Your lampstand's out of its place, the place of her, actually. If you don't repent. Repenting is a personal volition and choice. The church, he's talking to the church as a whole, and he said, if you don't repent, you're not going to be one of my churches anymore. You're not going to have the lampstand in your church. You're not going to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And look at the churches that had happened to back then, too. They went way astray. They go astray now, and then God abandons them, and then they just go off in the twilight zone, period. Verse number 6 and 7. All a tuto, but this thing you have that I hate. I hate this. God says, I hate this. And I hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which also you hate. Now, what is a Nicolaitan? A Nicolaitan was a people ruler. Nico means the rule or the lord over, and Laos is people, the Nicolaitans. I hate the works of the Nicolaitans. Now, what happened during this period of time? This is when preachers and pastors, and they started being bigger than the church. And they start telling church members what to do instead of the pastor telling the church. The church telling the pastor what to do. Some of the churches in the early age followed the doctrine of Balaam. These people began to indulge in moral extremes. They believed the more a person sinned, the more they glorified the God of heaven. Some of these. One of the leaders of this was a deacon at Jerusalem who apostatized Acts 6 and 5. Hierarchy begins in the churches. we have a hierarchy that somebody is ruling over the church and not Christ. Now in verse number 7, the last verse to this church. Ho ekon, the one having an ear. Let him hear. That's imperative there. Let him hear, akusato. What the Spirit, he says to the churches. To the one conquering and overcoming, I shall give to him to eat out of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. The one that overcomes. Were there people that believed at that time? Were there people actually here in this church age that actually followed the Lord, repented, and went back? Yes. Because Jesus said during this period of time that he would be with his church all the way until the end of the age. The church, the gates of hell will not wrestle her down. It meant that the gates of hell would try, but the gates of hell would not be, because there would always be somebody believing. In some churches somewhere, these people would believe, and they would constitute a New Testament church all during that age. Our Father, we send this message out for you throughout the world. I pray that it touches their hearts. I pray that they grow closer to you and follow you with their lives, with their actions, and with their beliefs, and they learn to trust in your word. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.